Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A lot of controversy around here. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. No, not the sitcom bracket, but that is garnering a lot of controversy. You're welcome to go vote right now. The Simpsons region is live, the second round. But no, the controversy, Perloff, has been this top 10 quarterback list that was put out by ESPN, but it wasn't just like ESPN, like talking heads who made this. It wasn't Stephen A. Smith or whatever. This was Jeremy Fowler, who's a reporter, who basically canvasses the entire league. So we're talking about executives. We're talking about coaches. We're talking about people who theoretically know what they're doing when it comes to every position group, and they do it for all the big position groups. And for quarterback, the top 10 list was intriguing for a few reasons. We talked about earlier that Brock Purdy was left off the list, which we both thought was a snub. But also that Dak Prescott made the list at 10. And the question that I have about Dak Prescott making this list is, generally, if a team has a quarterback that is thought to be a top 10 quarterback, why is the team messing around with whether or not they want this player back, right? Like, let's just distill this to the most obvious. You have a top 10 quarterback, or at least by the consensus of the league, you have a top 10 quarterback. Why is there any question about his future in Dallas?
Well, I think, you know, they're top 10, but a lot of these guys are top 10 have questionable futures with their team because of the price tag. If you pay $60 million for Dak Prescott, you're not going to be able to build a good team around him. So there's a lot of incentive to start over because he can only get you so far because he hasn't won the play. We all know with Dak, it's a postseason failures. If you had regular season Dak, you would never get rid of him. But a lot of guys on here too, like Stafford's the same way. They'll probably get rid of him. Like, you get old and expensive. That's why you would get rid of it. Even if you're top 10, that doesn't guarantee anything. If you're going to pay $60 million, then you're just not building a good enough team. So you kind of have to start over, right? That's the thinking.
Well, I always think that it's tough because what's true and what's not true. It's separating the fact and fiction of how you can structure contracts so that you can actually make this doable. You can make it palatable so that you can actually have Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. So you actually can make all of this work. That takes some creative cap gymnastics for sure. I don't think it's totally out of the question. Like, the Cowboys having this massive cap hit on Dak this season, the $60 million cap hit, that's their own fault. They could have come up with a different way to structure this the contract so that it wouldn't be so punitive on them this year. That is a design of the nerds in the front office or the people in the front office who make these decisions. I'm just saying, like, think about it. If you're a fan of a team who doesn't have a quarterback who's even close to sniffing this list, right, you feel what? You feel probably pretty hopeless, right? Or you feel like,
Well, yeah, go ahead. But you feel like maybe the answer's on the horizon, right? A little bit.
Okay,
but you're saying hopeless.
Well, I mean, that could be also the team kind of stringing you along. You know, you don't want to be somebody who roots for a team that's in quarterback hell. And quarterback hell is, to me, not paying the quarterback. That's not what gets you into quarterback hell. What gets you into it is that you don't have one. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, what life could be like for the Dallas Cowboys if they don't get something done with Dak Prescott. To me, that is not something I want to entertain, because you're not going to be bad enough to be picking super high in the draft to give you that aforementioned hope, like, hey, something on the horizon is
right,
better.
Right, right.
And to think you're going to go from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott to have this, let's call it what it is, luck of finding these guys who are undrafted like Romo or a late round pick like Dak Prescott, that's not a strategy. That's like you got real lucky back to back here that you had two diamonds in the rough. And Dak played in the SEC, so I get it. But you had two guys who no one really was looking at as a hot, as big draft picks, and you have gotten all this out of them. Like, I don't think you can just say, oh, we'll find our next franchise quarterback in the fourth round because we're good at this.
You know? Yeah, I see. Your general principle, though, about you could just find a way to make the money. Like, basically, when a quarterback gets expensive, your offense always takes a step back. Started with Drew Brees famously in New Orleans. You could go through the list. Once
Aaron
they paid
Rodgers
him,
took every penny.
Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
Like, and then Aaron Rodgers took every penny.
In Green
Bay. Then they had Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson as his one and two receivers. Basically, even Kansas City's, obviously, their offense has come back significantly in 2 years because they couldn't afford, once they paid Mahomes, they couldn't pay Tyreek Hill. So they took a step back. Everybody takes a step back.
Kids, did they take a step back? They've won two Super Bowls.
I think their offense fell by 30%
last
year.
But they've won two Super Bowls. So
right, they put
the
all the money. But
so smart.
But basically, they went into young defensive players to win that Super Bowl. So they redefined their team. But I do think they definitely took a huge, they had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. They took a huge step back offensively. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just pay Dak Prescott and not pay the price. Like, you're going to hurt your team somewhere. Josh Allen, honestly, like, they're really, like, they couldn't keep Stephon Diggs. They couldn't pay him. Like, there's a lot of,
I think there's a little more going on there, but yeah.
But look at his receivers. I mean, like,
yeah.
Are they one of the top three cheapest receiver room in the league? I just don't think you could pay $50 million out of this great team around. So even if you are top 10, you're expensive.
Okay, but
and you're old.
We're talking about Dak Prescott made this ESPN list of front office people and coaches in the NFL ranking the top 10 quarterbacks, and he's number 10 on the list. And so the idea that the Cowboys have a consensus top 10 quarterback but yet are being murky about his future, maybe dragging their feet on a contract extension, like, who gives up on a top 10 quarterback? Even if you have not gotten to the promised land yet, like, how much of that, some of it's on Dak for sure, but not all of it. And so are you really going to turn your back on a top 10 quarterback for the unknown? And here's what I'd say about team building. I'd rather have a cheaper receiver room, and I feel like you'd agree with me on this. I'd rather have a cheaper receiver room than no QB. Like, everything starts with a quarterback in the NFL. That's, yeah, like the most obvious thing.
I'd rather have no QB than be stuck paying for a QB who can only get me so far.
Okay, I think would you rather have Devontae Adams situation where he's a high paid wide receiver, yeah, with no quarterback? I don't like that either.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the Raiders should draft a quarterback. I think they should have traded up for Penix this year. But that's besides the point. But you said you wouldn't have a top 10 quarterback. I'm telling you right now, the Rams are going to probably move on from Matthew Stafford, who's number 5. And the Jets will definitely have to move on by,
wow, from Aaron Rodgers. Being on this list was a little bit of a lifetime achievement award.
You got 3 out of 10 guys on this list technically are barely holding on. I think once you're old and expensive, I don't care where you are on this list, unless you're like super elite, you become problematic. And that's what Dak is getting old and expensive.
Okay, so you mentioned Stafford a couple of times. We're talking about Dak Prescott, and you're welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. A consensus top 10 quarterback. Is this someone the Cowboys should be looking to move on from? Because it kind of seems like it's trending that way. You mentioned Stafford. At some point, they're going to have to get rid of him. He has mentioned that he does want to redo his contract. But here's what they say. This is what a high-ranking official with the NFL team told Jeremy Fowler. Matthew Stafford, he elevates the play of those around him. Puka Nacua is a good player, but he's not the same guy without Stafford. He helps those guys reach their potential. He also says the longer Stafford plays alongside McVay, the more his legacy mushrooms. And he's saying McVay's legacy mushrooms. Stafford in 2021 came to LA. The Rams went 12-5 and won the Super Bowl. He missed 9 games in 2022 with injury. The Rams missed the playoffs. 2023, he missed only 2 games. The Rams are back in the playoffs despite what was supposed to be a mini rebuild. I mean, Stafford deserves to be on this list. I'm not so sure they're trying to get rid of him right away.
Well, if I'm them, I would, because he's going to be, what, 36? So he wants a new... I mean, he really wants to be tied to the franchise for 3 or 4 years. So you're going to be paying $45 million, $50 million for Matthew Stafford at 38. I'm not sure that's where the Rams want to go. Why? You have Sean McVay.
Okay, so
do you need Matthew Stafford? Like, you can bring in a young, cheap guy and build him with McVay. And I'm not sure the Rams are going to want to go the old quarterback route.
So this discussion started with the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll keep it there because Dak also is 30. You know, he's not 36.
Yeah, but he won't
like
run anymore. He's definitely like, he can't move the way he used to. So if they do a new deal, what is it, four years a minimum? Like, is he going to play well into his 30s? He's got major injuries.
He's coming off the best statistical season he's ever had.
Yeah, 30,
right?
But that's going to go down. I don't know. I'm not sure, like, it's getting better for Dak.
This, to me, just, it seems a little crazy. Like, when you just, if an alien landed on Earth and they're like, what's up with your football team? It's like, well, we've got a top 10 quarterback, but we're not sure we want to keep him.
Don't you remember February? Everybody was out on Dak. The entire country was. All of Dallas was. Big Dave is like, come on, let's move on. Who's a Cowboys fan. Yeah. I'm telling you, yeah, I mean, if they lose again in the wild card, then forget it. Then it's just over.
Well,
over. Then we, and the truth is, they might not even make the wild card this year. They're definitely taking a step back from last year, personnel-wise.
So it was a horrible game against the Packers. A lot of fingers to be pointed. Certainly some at Dak Prescott, no doubt about it. But also, there's a little silver lining stuff here that I think, let's not miss the forest through the trees. You went from one offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore to Mike McCarthy, and Dak Prescott got better. So I'm no fan of McCarthy. I thought he was going to get fired after that Packers debacle. However, they've kept him. He's a lame duck guy. They've kept him, and he's playing out his contract this year. What makes you think, could Dak actually have another level to go here? Again, this was year one with McCarthy, and he was an MVP candidate. What do you think year two with McCarthy could be? It could be better, guys. Like, we're not leaving any room that this could actually get better, and I think that's a mistake. It's a mistake. Everyone's burned by all the postseason failures, and I get it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not pretend like this is some total train wreck of an organization. They lost a bad playoff game at home.
But do you think they're better or worse on paper than last year?
I think they're the same. And
really?
So that, I guess, means worse. But they're the same. And they get Trevon Diggs back this year, hopefully from injury. So that makes the defense better.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like there's a lot of change. Like, they're revamping their offensive line. They don't really have a running back. That seems to be a factor. And this is a team that relies on having a strong run game.
Yep.
Well, actually, McCarthy doesn't really like to run. But generally, they lost some receivers. I mean, like, Gallup's gone, right? So I don't know. Like, they definitely didn't do anything to improve. You look at that line, that roster, it just seems just a touch less scary than last year. I know Tyron Smith's always hurt. That's what you're going to tell me. But still, I mean, you can't be like, oh, well, we're definitely solved our left tackle when we lost the best left tackle the last 20 years.
I know, but see, you know what? The one thing I'll say, and I think even the most disenfranchised, ticked off Cowboy fan would have to get behind me on this one, they know how to build an offensive line. That's one where you might just have to say, we trust you. I think they know. And listen, to be honest, the Jets brought in Tyron Smith, and they basically made it this all incentive-laden contract. This was not like Trent Williams when he left Washington and was out, you know, to go to San Francisco. Like, everyone knew what that was about. This was not a massive contract. It made me think there were not a lot of bidders.
Well, yeah, he's old, and he's injury prone. But that being said, like, who's starting at left tackle? Can you even tell me that for sure?
Isn't it Tyler Smith? I don't know.
No, they said Guyton's might be the front runner.
Don't you think the Cowboys have earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to offensive line? They've had a good one basically since the 90s.
I don't know. Last year it felt like when guys were going in and out, like it didn't feel great last year. No,
But Dak had an MVP season. How could you say that? Like, clearly the offensive line was doing their job. Because if he was under constant pressure, he would not put up the numbers he was putting up.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't have a great first half against the Niners. I didn't think, like, it just didn't feel the same. It felt like the run game was harder to get going last year a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I know
Pollard was a major disappointment. I mean, there's no other way to put it, right?
Well, but the run game is all about the offensive line, right? It's much more about the offensive line than the running back. I don't know. I just feel like they're a little bit worse. They're definitely, like, They definitely didn't add anybody. Like, you can't give me that. Like, Jalen Tolbert's their number three wide receiver. And Brandon Cooks, to me, was a disappointment. Like, everyone knows they're going to CeeDee Lamb every play, and he's miserable. It just doesn't feel great to me.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Braden is in Colorado. What's up, Braden?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're excellent. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just wanted to weigh in on Dak debate you guys are talking about as far as moving on from a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
I did want to mention one thing real quick. Maggie, your point on, as a Cowboy fan myself, there is one thing that no matter how frustrating it may be that you cannot doubt or question when it comes to the Cowboys, and that's the ability to have a formidable offensive line that will keep you in every ball game no matter what. I can remember one game where offensive line play was so bad that it cost you, you know, the ability to be competitive. And that was against Atlanta when Tyron Smith went out and didn't have any backup plan for him at the time. So, look, as far as not top 10 quarterback, I agree with Maggie. Like, you can't just move on because, you know, it, for whatever reason, for Perloff's, you know, reasons of cost and money and all those things. Like, you have a top 10 quarterback, you've got a puncher's chance. And anybody that doesn't have a top 10 quarterback is looking to figure out how they can get one. To be honest with you, you know, I think some people think that, you know, the success of a season or not, or maybe their Super Bowl is if you stayed under the cap and not spent a bunch of money. But, you know, the whole point of this thing is to win football games and win championships, and anything in the pursuit of that is the goal, not contracts, not what it looks like 6 years down the road. There's always the ability to make moves and make changes and be able to you know, get that fixed as you go, but yeah. you got to be in the fight.
Wait, Brandon, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Cowboys are as good this year as they were last year, better, same?
I think on paper they're not as talented, but you've seen what arguably having the most talented roster in the NFL twice in the last 5 years gets you as well. There's a lot more to the success of a team than just talent on paper, and I think they bring back one of the best offenses in football with an offensive line that I think will be better. And BB moving over to center and gives you some flexibility on the ends. And I think the offense will be just as good, if not better.
But who's moving over to center?
I think BB, who we drafted from Kansas State.
Oh, Cooper BB,
I think he's going to be day one starter at center. I think Tyler Smith's going to stay at left guard. He's the next one, especially in those that ESPN article you guys referenced about, you know, the quarterbacks and things like that. They did want tier offensive linemen. Zach Martin's still the number one interior offensive lineman, and who they're saying is next is Tyler Smith. So that kind of proves the point about the one thing you don't worry about with the Cowboys is offensive line. So,
Braden, I'm with you, obviously, and thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate your perspective. I think his point about the quarterbacks, it's just if you're – I think this was the best thing that Braden said, which is if you – have a top 10 quarterback, you know that they're going to be expensive. You kind of understand it. And if you don't, you're in pursuit of one. And that's what you're hoping for. And you'll do anything you can to get a top 10 quarterback. So the Cowboys have one. And at least by the consensus of the rest of the league.
Yeah, listen, I like Dak more than most people, I think. But still, like, to call him like this is like a no-brainer that you're continuing with Dak. What do you think happens if they lose again? If they don't make the playoffs or lose in the wild card, like McCarthy's gone, then you're starting with a new coach and an older, expensive quarterback. It feels like you're going to be stuck in limbo forever.
Adrian's our pal in Maryland. What's up, Adrian? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Maggie and Perloff? How are you guys doing? Hey, this is my thought. Dak's in that Flacco year. That do it and you get paid. That's kind of what years he's in.
Yeah.
They're going to pay CD. Everybody's talking about CD. Don't pay CD. CD is the first option they need to do, and they'll pay him. They'll get Dak's contract done, I believe, probably at the end of the year, maybe, or something. And let's not forget, the defense was not well against that Packers game.
Yeah.
In that Packers game. It was not. Their game plan was terrible. They played man all year, and they come into a Packers game, and they start playing zone. That's why there are so many blown coverages. Those guys just weren't used to playing zone because they played man all year. Man, you got one more thing. How about Bronny James, huh?
You know what, Adrian? Oh, no. Two points last night. And he still hasn't hit a three. Now we're in multiple cities of summer league. He was in California. Now he's in Vegas. They were in Sacramento first, and now they're in Vegas, and he still hasn't hit a three. Adrian, oh, my goodness.
He's averaging 20 minutes, more than 20 minutes a game, and probably, like, I think because of that 2 points last night, I think he's at about 3 points now.
Oh, man.
Did you guys watch last night?
I did not watch it. Adrian, thanks so much for the call, dude.
I'll tell you one thing. He is athletic. He jumped up with this one time to block it was a pass shot. Like, he's got all the athleticism for a 6'1 guy. He's just a 6'1 two guard. He's terrible.
Did he have the 40-inch vertical or something? Like 42?
I mean, oh, my God. You see it. Like, he is as fast. He's as strong, fast, and jumping as high as any 6'1 guy who's coming into the league. Like, he fits physically fine. It's just he doesn't seem to know how to, like, score at this level.
Okay, well, maybe he'll figure that part out.
Isn't that the first thing you need to do, though, if you're a guard?
Like, how sad would it be, though, like you're saying he's so athletic.
He's really fast, really jump.
Okay, imagine if LeBron James is your dad and you didn't have any athleticism. God, why?
Well, but Jordan's,
curses, like, what is going on? Like, shouldn't you, right?
Well, Jordan's kids were slow. You ever see Jeffrey Jordan play? Like, he was really, he was not built like Michael at all.
Yeah, and it feels unfair, probably, if you're their kid.
Bronny has some of that athleticism. Like, he has no, he's got to go to the G League, right? There's no doubt about it. Whatever their plan is, he has to play in the G League. He's 6'1", and he never doesn't bring the ball up. What's up with that? He did the first two plays of the game,
but then he didn't
bring it up again.
But J.J. Redick's not the coach, he's not coaching their summer league team.
I don't think they think he can take the ball up.
Well, he's not a point guard. They say that.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, you have to be a point guard at 6'1".
Maybe his ball handling skills aren't good enough.
How can you be that at 6'1"? He's so raw. It's crazy. He does have really long arms. He's really fast. Can jump really high. He has no chance. But Dalton Connect's fun to watch.
Yeah, I saw he was very efficient. What was it, like 17 points, I think, on like 9 of 11 shooting?
I mean, who knows? I watched Reed Sheppard last night, too. Oh, he is fun. Oh, man.
You were doubting him.
No, I still doubt him. I don't know how at that height he's going to get a shot off in the NBA. But, man, he's got a – can I do it? Can I do the comp? Oh, he's got so much Jimmer Fredette in him. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right. Two undersized white guys. Yeah.
With perfect shooting form. Let's go.
We should know better than to get Perloff started on summer league at the end of the season.
That's Adrian's fault.
We can't do it. Yeah, I know. Adrian,
I watched Sixers too. I could give a full report on in the break.
Nobody loves the preseason like my friend Andrew Perloff. Okay. This all started with a Dak Prescott conversation. Top 10 quarterback consensus by league experts. So should the Cowboys be looking to get rid of him? Got top 10 QB on your hands. 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on that. We are on our affiliates nationwide. We love you, Infinity Sports Radio affiliates. Also, SiriusXM channel 158. We are streaming live three different places. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and right now on X at Maggie Gray. You can come and watch the show. Coming up next, we check in on the SEC Media Days, and could we be expecting a new member of the SEC anytime soon? It's Maggie and Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. SEC Media Days are going on. It's going to get interesting. The coaches start talking. So yesterday, Commissioner Greg Sankey got to the mic. I find him slightly terrifying because he feels like the mastermind of everything. I feel like he's secretly running college football. I think that's probably not. I mean, that sounds like hyperbole.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a secret.
yeah, right. That's a good, exactly. It's either him or Paul Feinbaum, one of the two. Let's go over some of the things Sankey said yesterday, specifically about the SEC and continuing realignment. I don't know what to make of this, Maggie.
Yeah, he said he's not going to be out there recruiting schools now to come to the SEC.
We're focused on our 16. I've said before at Media Days, I'm not a recruiter. My job is to make sure we meet the standard of excellence that we have for ourselves on a daily basis. That attracts interest.
Okay, I mean, maybe we're kind of splitting hairs here. If I'm part of the SEC, I don't want to see the commissioner come out and say, I'm not a recruiter. That's not the growth mindset that you want. You know, I think teams, I don't think you're going to have to put on like a hard sell for anyone to join the SEC outside of maybe Notre Dame, which isn't really a fit. But because they're independent, they've got their own TV contracts and all that stuff, I think people will willingly go. I don't think that you need to be out there recruiting.
Right.
I get it. But you also don't want to be, you know, this is not going anywhere. You added Texas and Oklahoma this past season. Like, you got to keep growing. There's no doubt. Like, you can stay at 16 for now, and that's nice and all well and good to say. But that can't be where it ends.
Yeah, but he said we're at 16 now, and we're going to be at 16 tomorrow or something to that effect. Like, I don't think there was no point where he actually said, like, I won't take Clemson and Florida State. Like, I feel like he was just saying the politically correct thing. And you're absolutely right, though. He doesn't need to recruit. So there's no downside in him saying this. Everyone knows they're the leader on the block right now. Like, everyone knows they're the SEC. They definitely don't need to recruit. If Clemson can find a way to win their lawsuit and get out of the ACC, obviously, the SEC is their number one choice by a mile. They don't want to go to the Big Ten or the Big 12. So, but they don't need to recruit. There's no downside in this statement. He might also, as we were talking on our call last night, he has some legal reasons to say this. There's a lot of lawsuits going on out there. But yeah, who cares? There's a growth mindset. You're the SEC. You don't have to worry about anything. Everybody wants to come to you.
Here's more on Sankey on the importance of keeping the latest expansion of the SEC limited to the Southeast.
We know who we are. In the Southeastern Conference, we're the one conference at this level where the name still means something. The Southeastern part of the United States, where when we expanded, we actually restored historic rivalries while adding only 100 miles to the longest campus-to-campus trip our student-athletes will experience.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other way to take that except for a dig at the Big Ten? I don't know how else. First of all, do we consider Texas to be in the Southeast?
Kinda. I mean, it's in the South. It's contiguous.
Okay. But this has definitely got to be a swipe at the Big Ten. And, you know, the Big Ten basically just taking advantage of and maybe helping to usher along the dissolving of the Pac-12 with the idea that Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA all joining the Big Ten really doesn't make a lot of geographic sense. But, I mean, if I'm the Big Ten, I don't know why I had to take any swipes from the SEC. I'm doing what I need to do to compete with the SEC,
no,
right?
I don't know. You're super lame. You had to bring in all these West Coast schools. It's kind of weak.
What's lame about it?
USC playing Maryland in volleyball? Like, this is going to be the lamest thing ever. In fact, to the point, like, they've tried this before where you go west to east, and these conferences have fallen apart. I think this is going to feel not really like a conference as much as a random collection of teams.
Well, why don't we just keep it on football for now? Because
even in football, too. I think Oregon and Iowa is not going to be the rivalry that people think.
Okay, but you're not interested in seeing Ohio State and Oregon or Michigan and Washington or those teams? I think that's cool. I'm not gonna take the Big Ten down a peg because they took advantage of an opportunity.
Okay, take out Ohio State and Michigan. Like, Washington, I don't think it's gonna be a thing anymore. So, yeah, there are a lot of, like, Washington, Illinois. Like, no, I don't feel like the greatness of college football, the rivalries and the conferences, like, no, this feels artificial. It doesn't feel like, honestly, no, seeing Oregon play Minnesota. No, that does nothing for me.
Okay, but I mean, it's not like the SEC is without any bottom feeders. You know, yeah, you're not tuning into every Vanderbilt game.
Right, but SEC does at least have that history, you know, like tradition, rivalry. And, like, he is right. Every state, he talks about all the states touch each other. Even Texas, of course, is geographically aligned with LSU. Of course, it's an Alabama. Like, if you're an Alabama, you're a Cowboy fan. Like, there's an obvious connection. There's total value in that. I mean, I understand it's an appropriate dig at Big Ten, I think. Like, the Big Ten, even the Big Ten doesn't want it. They don't want to have a team in California and a team in Maryland. This is not by design. This is just sort of the way it fell.
Okay, but I just don't understand why it would be a negative on the Big Ten.
Because it's just weak. It feels like you're not really a conference. You're just a conference of convenience. Not like an old, like, let's get, you know, we're a conference. We're all rivals. We all have a reason to be playing each other. And also, too, it's just like, it makes the academics of the whole thing look like a joke. And
you bringing up academics is
just
a joke.
Who
would ever bring academics into this conversation?
But, like, their volleyball teams are going to have to play each other. I know there's talk about
it to football. But
you can't keep it to football because the whole Big Ten is playing each other. Like,
if this was about volleyball, Nebraska would be the most important thing. And where are they? In the Big Ten. So we don't have to talk about volleyball.
You're talking about
the student athletes traveling. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying, yeah, exactly. Like, the fact that they need to bring this together for football means that all these athletes and all these sports have to travel across the country and miss class. That's definitely a big factor. No. You think everyone's like, man, like, let's design a conference and let's have Oregon and Rutgers be in the same.
I don't think anyone was doing it by design, but they were taking advantage of an opportunity. And again, I hate to do this, but, and I know this doesn't make a lot of sense for Stanford and, you know, to be in the ACC. I get that these cross country trips are not ideal, but let's just keep it to a football conversation what's driving this thing. And I feel bad about the collateral damage there of students missing classes, but this is not the place to have the students missing classes conversation. We're talking Greg Sankey is the commissioner of the SEC taking a swipe at Big Ten football. He's not taking a swipe at Big Ten swimming, you know?
No. I mean, I think, like, it's all part of the same stew. Like, yeah, like, you're saying, like, bringing along all those other sports means nothing. This is not just about football. I think he's saying, like, like, this is a whole conversation. He's talked a lot about, like, being close. Yeah, he's not just talking about football. And also, too, like, Stanford being in the ACC, like, you don't think that's lame?
Oh, it's ridiculous. But I, what choice did people have? It's not like there were these great options out there. And it's like, you're killing the schools for taking advantage of an opportunity where they're just supposed to sink into the ocean. Like, what were the Pac-12 schools supposed to do? Join the Mountain West? Why wouldn't they join the Big Ten? It's way more money, more revenue from the TV and everything.
But it's so much cooler. The SEC gets to keep it regional. Like, they're definitely going to stay on top of the mountain. Like, yeah, I mean, well, unless you go to two conferences, which is nothing, but, like, yeah, I mean, this is, like, SEC, I think, takes a stronger grip on the top conference because they've been able to do this. Bringing in Texas, I mean, there's no doubt you might have, last year the Pac-12 was awesome, the Big Ten has a couple schools, but the SEC feels more in charge than ever. I mean, look at it, like, just because they brought in Oklahoma, Texas. Like, now, like, I don't even know who's competing, like, who's... Big Ten is competing with USC, but not really. I mean, like, you go like 8 deep powerhouse organizations. Yeah, I think if you add Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, forget it. Like,
That could happen.
They don't even need to. They're still way superior.
We're not sure how far down the road. Peter Schwartz is here. He's got headlines. Hello.
Good morning. Dodgers outfielder Teoscar Hernandez won the home run derby in Arlington last night. An exciting finish as he edges out Royal shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. in the final 14-13. Hernandez became the first Dodger to win home run derby. And he received some advice from Shohei Ohtani.
He said to hit the ball to left center, to not pull it, because I had a better chance because the way my swing is to go over there. It's far, but he said it's better for you.
And I guess the advice worked out.
How in the history of the Dodgers, no one's won the home run derby?
No.
Well, when they start doing the home run derby again?
85 or something?
Griffey.
Was it before then?
Just before Griffey? When Griffey hit it in Baltimore, was that the first one?
Let's see.
It was before that, right?
85.
They've been doing
that
one every
long?
Year since 85?
Allegedly. I saw it the other day. That's why I had 85 in my head.
I don't remember it going back that far.
Mm-hmm. According to the internet.
Yeah. So no Dodger had ever won it until Teoscar Hernandez last night. Tonight, of course, is the All-Star Game. National League against the American League. American League manager Bruce Bochy will give the ball to Corbin Burnes of the Orioles.
This is his fourth consecutive All-Star game. What he's done this year, Baltimore, you know, they're leading their division. He's a big reason for that. So, in my mind, it's just his time. It's his time to, you know, start an All-Star game. That's why I chose him.
And the National League starter is Paul Skeens, the rookie for the Pirates. First pitch, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Juan Soto, the Yankees outfielder, in the starting lineup for the American League. He will be a pending free agent after the season. He was asked yesterday if he's thinking about that.
I try to let that to Scott. I just try to focus on my games and everything. I haven't even think about where it's going to be a good place. I'm just thinking about where I'm at right now and what I want to do where I'm at.
Scott, of course, is his agent, Scott Boras. Soto was also asked if how the Yankees do the rest of this season will affect his decision.
I don't know if it's going to affect any of my decision. Whenever we're there, we're going to sit down and look around. But right now, I hope to win another championship with the Yankees. We're trying to do our best, and that's what we focus on.
I think he's gone.
Well, so here's a question. If they win the World Series, is he more likely to stay or go? Because you could say, listen, he's now won 2 World Series, 2 different places. He could really just go for the money and not have to think about winning. Like, his legacy is set.
I don't think winning is going to play a role at all. I think he's just going to, whoever gives him the most money is where he's going to go, and I don't think the Yankees are going to do it.
You know what we should do as a maybe something fun? Let's all write down on a piece of paper where we think Juan Soto is going to sign, fold it up, put it in a hat, put it away. See who gets it.
Okay.
Well, and when this is a long show bet, if you will, and see who's actually right, because you got to call it today at the All-Star break. And July,
do we say what it?
16.
Do we say it, or we just write it down? It's going to be a secret.
I think maybe secret. Put your name on it.
Okay.
Like where and your name. Obviously, you don't think the Yankees.
No.
Of which you were a
not
Yankee
far.
Fan.
But not far from there.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah.
So wait, do the big guns want them? Like the Dodgers and the Rangers want them, or no?
I'm sure anybody would want them. It's who's going to give them the most money.
Yeah. Also, he doesn't want the deferred.
A billionaire.
He doesn't want the deferred stuff because isn't that what they were basically offering in Washington? And he said no.
Yeah.
So no Shohei $700 million, but I'll get you next Tuesday.
Nope. He's going to go. Some very aggressive owner with a lot of money is going to offer him the most money, and that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, but the Mets aren't the only team with money. Texas has money. The Giants have money. Obviously, the Dodgers.
Cubs
always come up with money.
I just
can.
That's gut feeling.
The Cubs go like in and out.
In and out.
Right? Yeah.
The San Francisco Giants, I'd worry about.
You would worry about the Giants?
Yeah.
Well, they never get anybody though.
Well, but they're putting the money out.
They couldn't get Aaron Judge locked up.
So they had him.
They had him.
Okay. Well, I'll write it down on a hat. And put your name on it and where you think he's going to be, and then we'll put it away. We'll see if we're all right.
The United States Olympics men's basketball team had a friendly yesterday. They beat Australia 98-92. Anthony Davis had 17 points, 14 rebounds. From the NBA, Knicks owner James Dolan sent the letter to the NBA's Board of Governors yesterday criticizing the league's new television deal, saying that it renders the league's regional sports networks unviable.
Not shocking that the person who's got the most valuable franchise doesn't want to share it with the teams who have less valuable franchises. And essentially, the Cliff Notes.
And has a very valuable regional sports network.
Yep.
So that actually, I know, obviously, the history with Dolan.
Sure.
But everything he said made perfect sense.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
From
he's
his
not
point
wrong.
Of view.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like, his common sense. And, like, by the way, like, I don't know if, like, he might be right. Like, why should the Knicks carry all the other teams?
Well, this is what happens with revenue sharing.
Yeah.
And so this is the one point, again, you know, Dolan and I, there's no love lost there. But one part I also did agree with him about this letter is, why does the league itself need 5% of the of the total?
6%. The league did not want that coming out. That was like, uh-oh.
So the league itself, like the NBA headquarters are going to get What was the final? It was like $1 billion.
$8 billion, I think.
$8 billion. I thought I saw eight.
For the league office.
What in the
world do they need eight? That's the GDP of a small country. What does the league office need that for?
It's called flat out corruption, right? I mean, like, there's no two ways about that.
So my question is, when he says that the regional sports networks, and in his case, he's talking about MSG,
yeah,
being unviable. Now, I don't know this. Maybe I should, but does the new TV deal put more games exclusively on network TV and takes games away from MSG?
Streaming, probably.
Well, I did notice there's a national game every night on some streaming channel.
Yep.
Which nobody will watch. But
if there's a game on the streaming channel, it can't be shown on regional. That's going to be an exclusive. It's like those ESPN Plus hockey games.
Well, I don't know, because sometimes you're able to say, you know, you'll go to like a stream or something and they'll say, you can't watch this here. You've got to watch it on your regional network. I don't know. Yeah. I have to read the fine print of that.
Yeah, that's what I would like wonder. Like, if he's and he would be right. Like, if you're going to take, if you already got games on ABC and you already got games on Turner that are exclusive, now if you're going to take more games away from your own regional sports channel, then I would actually side with him, which is a rarity.
Yeah.
NFL Browns running back Nick Chubb posted an Instagram video yesterday showing that he is now squatting 540 pounds. Now, that in of itself should not be a surprise, but what could you do 8 months after surgery for a torn ACL? Nick Chubb is now squatting 540 pounds.
54 pounds? That I could do now. Wait, first of all, you take out that first part about injury. I can't squat anything. Can you?
No. I mean, I could train my whole life and I wouldn't get sniff anything like that. These guys are freaks of nature. Pounds.
Did you see the way the weight was bending the bar? It was insane. Yeah. He's crazy strong. That being said, do you actually like draft him in fantasy because he squatted a lot? I was actually wondering in my head, like, oh, does being able to squat a lot mean that you're going to be able to be awesome week one?
Means he's healthy, that's for sure.
Does it, though? Like the kind of, yes, the squat, because that's the one movement where you go down with a lot of weight. Can you cut at full strength and be totally confident in all your cuts?
I mean, I think if you're confident with that much weight on the bar, well, who knows? 855-212-4227. Thank you, Peter Schwartz. Coming up, we get back to our breakdown of the AFC South. We are breaking that division down today, a division that used to be not that interesting and is now extremely interesting. Don't move. We break down the AFC South today as we're working our way through each division before training camp opens next week. We talked about the Houston Texans. My take was that C.J. Stroud has set the bar almost ridiculously impossibly high for the rest of the quarterbacks coming in. And lo and behold, we have six rookies who were taken in the first round. So good luck with all that. Also, my only negative, I think, would be, is it just too good to be true? This team is on such a crazy ascent. It was only 2 years ago that they seemed totally irrelevant, and now they feel top five at least at every position on the
football top team. 10.
Top
five is very rich.
If you break it down, I mean,
top five is like a little ridiculous. If that's like, all-time dream team. But yeah, they're ridiculously talented on paper.
They're loaded. So you have a thought about the Tennessee Titans. This is a team that intrigues you.
Oh my God. Has anybody done more this offseason than the Titans to fix everything that's wrong with them? So they brought in the Callahan team, Brian Callahan and his dad.
Yeah.
So they had the worst offensive line. The last 2 years, they've been ranked 32 out of PFF. But look at their offensive line. J.C. Latham, who they got in the first round, number 7 overall pick, and Peter Skoronski, who was out all last year, like kind of in and out because he had an appendix, I think. So those guys, that's like an incredibly talented and young left side of the line. They got Lloyd Cushenberry. So their offensive line should go from 32 to like 12. I mean, like, because you bring, you know, that the older Callahan is a monster on the offensive line.
Yep.
Then you have Will Levis. So you're giving Will Levis. Then his receiving core is absolutely insane. He's got Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, Treylon Burks is his top four.
Yeah.
Like, that's top 10-ish. And then, okay, yes, you got rid of Derrick Henry. That's a big fear, obviously. There are games where he just took over. But you got Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears, who are like kind of younger and more explosive than him. So offensively, like, you did everything. You're giving Will Levis everything you need to succeed. So they, or at least they say, we want to see this guy with tools around him. What can he do? And at the very least, say what you want about Tennessee. They'll know about Will Levis after this year because you're giving him every chance to be good.
Right. The only thing I worry about is that this is a lot of pressure for a young quarterback. Levis is just going into his second year. When you do have this caliber of receiver around you, you know, it's like, are you going to, A, be able to keep everybody happy? Are you going to be able to push the ball? I mean, he's got a hell of an arm, Will Levis. Are you going to be able to keep everybody happy? Or I guess that's basically my one question. Are you going to be able to, like, feed everybody here and you're going to be able to deliver on this? And then, you know, it's funny. I think Tennessee is going to be one of those teams that's kind of right there this entire season. Yeah. This is going to turn into one of the most competitive divisions in the entire NFL. We talk about the quarterbacks in the AFC, and it's Mahomes, and it's Burrow, and it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud is in this division. But we don't really talk about, like, I guess maybe Trevor Lawrence on the fringe, but it's not like a quarterback first division.
No.
And yet, I think it's going to be an incredibly difficult division. I mean, this is sneaky, probably one of the most competitive divisions in the entire NFL.
Well, I think you have, if it plays out the way I think everyone...
Don't forget Legarius Sneed added too, on the defensive
side. Yeah, no, their defense and the fact that Jeffrey Simmons is still there, like, they've always been solid on defense. But the thing about this division is I think everyone views it as... The Texans are probably going to win 10 or 11 or 12 games, and then everyone else is 7 or 8 wins. Or, I mean, I bet you the win total is right around 7, because the Titans are, when you say right there, you mean like 8 and 9, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, probably on the fringe of getting a wild card spot.
Right. The Jags are probably, like, I think, like, they look like 8 and 9 to me. And then I think the Colts are definitely, like, they've been floating around 8 and 9. They were 9 and 8 last year. They'll probably be 8 and 9 this year. So I feel like you have no, it used to be a walkover division.
Yeah.
Now there's no walkovers. I do think the Texans are different, but I think, yeah, you can't add. I really like Callahan spread the ball around really well in Cincinnati. Like, nobody complained there.
Yep.
Yeah. So he was the OC the last 4 years. Like, he knows how to get the ball around an offense. I don't think that receiver thing is going to be a problem. And that's like Will Levis can move a little bit. Feel like there's a lot to be positive about here. And the expectation, you say there's pressure. Like, no one's going to be mad if they don't win 10 games. Everyone's going to be psyched to go 8 and 9. They'd be like, I think it's a very low bar there, which is probably a good thing.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, now this is the generous read, right? There is another read where it's like, all right, you added Calvin Ridley, yeah, and you had DeAndre Hopkins. But, you know, Tony Pollard's coming off of a down year. Maybe it's better with an offensive line. But again, he couldn't do much with the Cowboys. You know, you have Sebastian Joseph Day, who I like, but he's now floated around a little bit. And, you know, I guess there's an alternate read that Brian Callahan isn't very good and that the front office isn't awesome.
Why would you think Brian Callahan would be good?
How do you know he's good?
Well,
again, these are coordinators who are doing this for the first time.
Yeah, I feel like he feels like Zach Taylor light. Like, he's this Kevin O'Connell. He's one of these, I don't even know if he's from the McVay or Shannon tree, but I assume he is.
From his dad's tree?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is that the Gruden tree at some point? I'm not even sure. Yeah, maybe it's the West Coast tree. But regardless, like, he is every coach now. He's some 40-year-old offensive coordinator who comes in, and he's going to run a competent offense. And I don't know. Maybe I'm a fool, but I tend to be positive about those offensive coaches coming in. He feels like the exact right guy there.
Well, the question is also, do we know if Will Levis can actually take a next step forward?
But now we'll find out. That's a great question. Yeah, and hey, you know, they do lose Derrick Henry. Like, that's when they won games, it's because Derrick Henry was plowing guys, so that won't be there.
So much to get to, including one of our friends is in line to stop by today. We'll tell you who it is next. Megan Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.